University has about 6,000 titles and about 120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu, scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, the issue today is our Religious Liberties Commission. Should we have a Religious Liberties Commission? What does it do? In your opinion, will it promulgate, push, and propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or is it possible that it will be the tool that will be used to water down and to affect the gospel of Jesus Christ, power and authority in the world today? We're talking about that issue. It's an issue that I believe is should be savored, investigated, and looked at today. In fact, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis with me, we're talking about that together, and we got to the point of saying what we find taking place were those that believe that the church is spiritual Israel, that God has discontinued anything to do with Israel, and we're now called Christian Zionists if we believe in Israel. If we say Genesis 1:22, verse 6, where it challenges and chides and commands Christians to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that somehow, some way, we are a spiritual Zionist, as we're being called now. Those that believe that, and there are many preachers that believe that, ladies and gentlemen, many pastors today that will believe, and listen carefully, many pastors, many Christians across denominational lines believe that all the promises that God made to Israel are today applied to the church, that it's really the application is to the church of the Lord Jesus. In fact, in Reformed theology, replacement theology, covenant theology, Calvinism, all being one, that the church is Israel and they're now the same. And some within that realm, they say the church has inherited all of Israel's promises. Ladies and gentlemen, the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, began in the book of Genesis. In fact, in Genesis 17:8, God makes an everlasting promise, a commitment, a covenant, a unilateral covenant, not a bilateral covenant, not a covenant that says, if you do this, I'll do this, if you do that, I'll do that. But it's where God makes a covenant to Abraham and his seed forever. It's an everlasting covenant that the land, the seed, is that of the Jewish people. And yet there are those that misinterpret, misunderstand what the Scripture says. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Dr. Davis, what say you? We're talking about what is replacement theology, covenant theology. And I've just outlined several things. Time won't allow us to elaborate. I'll read a couple of them and then let you respond. That the church and Israel are the same. They're one and the same. The church has now inherited Israel's promises. It's a misinterpretation of Ephesians 2:12-19. We find there that it is not something that is followed, but it talks about the Gentiles mean a fellow citizen. Notice, Gentiles brought near fellow citizens. read that text in Ephesians 2, 12 through 19 for us, and let's the three of us elaborate on that for a moment.
Okay, Ephesians 2.
12 through 19.
Okay, and that's exactly where I was going.
That's good.
Thank God for that. Mm-hmm. Amen. Ephesians 2 and 12 says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, that means right now,
right,
in this present day, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who had made both one, and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain. Who is that? That's Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Gentiles.
Yep.
That's the church.
But now let's pause for a moment.
Make himself of twain one new man.
Pause for a moment as you think of that and look at that text, and then Dr. Phelps respond. Does that mean that Israel has been displaced and the church has taken position, that there's no longer Israel? By the way, the empty-headed Tucker Carlson, in my opinion, says that there's a difference between the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. That he's not against the Jewish people, he's just against the nation of Israel. How do you bifurcate that?
My God.
How do you say that there's a separation? Just like we're an American, they say, well, we're not against American citizens, we're just against America. America's the great Satan, needs to be destroyed. Never mind the fact that it will destroy the citizens. How do we, in any way, tangibly recognize that? What is taking place, Dr. Davis, in my opinion, is a total misinterpretation of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and following. Total misinterpretation. What takes place that causes the misinterpretation, Dr. Phelps? It is a lack of context, it's a lack of chronology, and it's a lack of dispensationalism. Speak about those things.
First of all, I believe in answer to that question that the problem is a problem with interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a problem with meanings of words.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of theology that we're discussing today is contrary to the scriptures. And one of the things that's happening is that they redefine words. Good Bible words are so redefined that they attach a wrong meaning to Bible words.
Mm-hmm.
And that results in a interpreting of scriptures as well. So two things, redefining words and reinterpreting the scriptures so that we come up with the wrong interpretation and therefore we miss the truth. And so that's what's happening with many things in many churches today. They're following this line of thinking and therefore they are not edifying people because they don't hear the truth.
Right.
They're not hearing the truth. But let me suggest that in that passage in Ephesians, that later on in that chapter, we find that we're spoken of as the temple of God, a building. Mm-hmm. God is building the church today. God is at work, and his great church is where God is working. But that does not mean that he is through with Israel.
That's right.
God has a plan for Israel. We have a new revelation today. It's the grace of God. And the church is right in the middle of that. It's God's master plan to form one body composed of believers in Christ from every nationality. Israel, on the other hand, is made up exclusively of the descendants of Jacob.
Amen. Right. Amen.
So those are two distinguishing points that I've already mentioned. Let me mention something else. The truth is that the church is neither the same as Israel, nor does it replace Israel.
That's right.
According to 1 Corinthians 10:32, a passage that I've already spoken about, there are three distinct groups of people to be considered. And Israel is God's special earthly people, whereas the church is God's special heavenly people. That's right. We have a heavenly calling.
That's right.
And Israel is referred to as God's chosen earthly people. See, God formed the nation of Israel to serve as his witnesses to the other nations.
Absolutely.
We're to look at Israel and learn from their mistakes and from their victories.
Absolutely.
As well.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, one of the things that I go back to, and I'm hammering on Tucker Carlson because he's one of the major promulgators today in modern society that many are grasping, grappling, and hanging on to and believing. Tucker Carlson laughs. He said, don't you realize that most of the Jewish people today are anti-God? They are lost. And as a result of that, how do you call them a nation and God's people? And it's because he knows no theological truth. He knows no eschatology. He knows nothing about anything that we would call chronology today. He is totally misunderstanding the Word of God, and yet people are following what he says. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, very carefully. If God's finished with Israel, if Israel is the modern church today, the spiritual church today, what did the Apostle Paul mean in Romans 1:16? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek.
Amen.
What this theology, false theological belief does today, ladies and gentlemen, it undermines, it destroys the integrity of God's Word. Yeah. It challenges God. It spits in God's face because it forfeits anything that will be called theological biblical truth. It forfeits anything that will be called the apple of God's eye, the nation of Israel. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find that according to the Apostle Paul's writing, and he was the human author of the book of Romans, several others, by the way, he was the human author. And so it's not about what Paul says, but I use that term. The Apostle Paul said in Romans, the 11th chapter, verse 26, 27, 28, and 29. He says, in fact, focusing on just the 26th verse, and all of Israel shall, future tense, be saved. And then when you go to the book of Zechariah, the 12th chapter, and you find that verse 7 and following, left page, left column, halfway down in my Bible, that it says when Jesus Christ returns, that they will recognize Yeshua Messiah, whom we have slain. That's the Jewish people speaking, and will receive him as Savior and will be entered into the millennial reign with the household of faith called the Christians. Dr. Davis, if the Jewish people are no longer real, if they've been folded into the church, and the church today is spiritual Israel, why do we have so many references to the future tense, eschatologically speaking, about the nation of Israel? For example, I'll touch on this and let you speak. 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, verse 2 and following. It talks about there will come a day when the Antichrist will enter into the new temple. I'm using the word new. Enter into the temple in Jerusalem and demand to be worshipped as God. Now, if there's no Jerusalem, if there's no Israel, if there's no Jewish temple that shall be rebuilt, in my opinion, starting in the near future, if that is not the case, then how is it that we find those words in the Word of God? It is a bifurcation of the text, it is a denial of the truth of the text, and it's bringing about serious decline and division in the Christian faith. Dr. Davis, I'll just leave that open. What do you say?
Well, I'm just going to say only the strong are going to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about we who know the truth.
That's right.
All right. Based on what you just said a little bit earlier concerning God making of the twain one new man.
Mm-hmm.
I did a word study on that. And I believe when you look at the Hebrew word connected to that is mishbohah. It means hallowed saint.
That's right.
Now, if I go back to what I read in Matthew chapter 22 about how Jesus answered the Sadducees when he said, ye do error, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God, then this is telling me people today still don't understand God has the power.
Mm-hmm.
To make us one new man. So when we read through the scriptures and go back and put all these things together that he has told us about Israel and the church, when he brings us together, he is not going to call us by two people groups.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to call us one new man. We're going to be the universal church in Christ Jesus, made up of all peoples and kindreds and tongues and nations, like it says in the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. So see, when we got to do is just tie these loose ends together. Well, now let me say this.
Go ahead.
What you said earlier about the covenant that God made with Israel back in the book of Exodus, I found another one in the book of Deuteronomy, the Song of Moses, in chapter 32, and I'm just going to read a few verses there, starting at verse number 8. This is a part of the Song of Moses after he had gone to see the promised land. He knew he wasn't going, so he was given a charge to Israel, and then he sung this song. Verse number 8. He said, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of who? The children of Israel. Verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Verse 10, and I'm going to stop right there. He found him in a desert land. Who's he talking about? Israel. Mm-hmm. He didn't find the church in the desert land. He's talking about Israel. And in the waste, howling wilderness, he led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye.
Amen.
That's Israel.
Amen. That's right.
That's a perfect description to let us know we don't have any reason to error.
Mm-hmm.
We need to come to the knowledge of understanding once again, and I hear you say this every day on the radio. When you begin to give your monologue, you say, in today's world, every man believes in their own version of truth.
That's right.
We don't need a version. A version of truth won't save you.
That's right. It's a bifurcation of truth.
Only the truth coming from the pages of Scripture is what's got the power. Where God's power functions.
Absolutely.
And gives you the opportunity to inherit eternal life. So we need to separate ourselves from that.
Absolutely. One of the major problems we have with it, in saying that the church is spiritual Israel, and in folding in that all of the promises God made to Israel and applying them to the church. I never will forget listening to Paul Crouch seated on the set with the television camera rolling. Jan Crouch's wife there with him. And they were talking about the promises God made. And she said, well, you know, Paul, God promised the Christian that we'll be the head, not the tail. We'll be the lender, not the borrower. God never promised that to the Christian. That's when you apply the promises to Israel to the church, because you believe in the Reformed theology, replacement theology, covenant theology, Calvinism in its theological truth. You believe in that, so you believe that the church will inherit, that we're going to be the lender, not the borrower. We're going to be the head, not the tail. And I could go on and on and on with the mega promises that God made to Israel that are not applicable to the church today. Now, we can say God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and so therefore if he's committed to his people, the church, the nation of Israel, so also he's committed to his church, his people, the Christians. Dr. Phelps, in the scripture, the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul says, hath God cast away his people? And then he gives the answer, God forbid. That is, God has not cast away Israel. Dr. Phelps, what do you see, biblically speaking, what is God's plan for Israel?
God has a great plan for the future of Israel. Mm-hmm. And proof of that is found in that very same passage that you were talking about. The 11th chapter of Romans informs us that God has not cast off his people Israel forever. Temporarily, it looks like that's so.
They're blinded right now.
Yeah, blinded. But in Romans 11:1, Paul referred to himself as proof that God has future plans for Israel, for he's going to involve his nation in something that he has been talking about throughout all the Old Testament prophetic scriptures. You see, the manner of Saul's conversion is a preview of the future national conversion of Israel.
That's right.
We find that when Saul saw the vision of the risen Christ on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, he experienced something that became a pattern, as he tells us, of the future experience of Israel. Mm-hmm. And that's talked about there in the Old Testament scriptures that you've already spoken of further. You see, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8, Paul said that he was the last person to witness the appearing of the resurrected Christ. He said, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Mm-hmm. Notice the way he said that. Mm-hmm. It was an unusual conversion. So Saul's conversion is a pattern for the nation of Israel, for they will also witness the appearing of the living Christ when he returns to claim his throne. See, the Bible tells us that Jesus is coming back again. And so Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:16, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. There he's referring to Israel.
Absolutely.
And so the truth is spoken of by the prophet Zechariah, who tells us of the manner by which God will bring about the future national conversion of the remnant of Israel at a future time, possibly very soon, when the Lord defends the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The scripture tells us what God will do to bring about his the conversion of Israel. Zechariah 12:10, God says, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourn for his own son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Now that means in a future day, Israel's national conversion time, the Lord will pour upon the house of David and upon the citizens of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. The Spirit of God will bring to the people of Israel a similar experience to what occurred in Saul's conversion.
Absolutely. And Dr. Phelps, thank you for saying that. One of the things that I find so disingenuous for so many Christians today, different denominations, that embrace this thing that there's nothing wrong with this Religious Liberties Commission. And you've got Catholics, those that are heathens, Islamics, etc. Let me just read some statistics, then we'll take our caller. Why the church must recognize the unholy alliance. The threat is now, this writer says. Across the nation, a major shift is taking place, and most churches are not equipped to address it. We're entering an era of unprecedented spiritual and demographic transformation that is catching the body of Christ off guard. Listen to these stats. 52% Muslim population growth in North America just in the past decade, according to the Pew Research. 60% of Americans acclaim Christianity, yet only 4% of Christians hold a biblical worldview, the George Barna report. 64% of pastors feel limited in their ability to speak out on moral issues, again according to the Barna report. It goes to say, the vacuum is being filled by false gospels, progressive Christianity, universalism, and the voices like Texas Representative James Talacaro, a lost and ignorant, I call it a lost ignorant man, who recently claimed all religions of love point to the same truth. It's not so at all. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we speak about this issue today, the question is, our Religious Liberties Commission, will it demonstrate the embracing of the centrality of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Bible itself, or will it embrace the amalgamation of other religions, other beliefs, including Islam? I'm concerned, ladies and gentlemen. I'm looking at headlines that says Sharia-free America caucus is growing. There's 48 members now in the Sharia-free America caucus, founded by a couple of the good leaders in the House of Representatives out of Texas, Chip Roy and Keith Self. It is a position that they're taking, and I believe that it is one that we need to recognize that is dangerous for America. Another headline. What is Sharia Free America Caucus? Congressman Brandon Gill joins the GOP-backed controversial group. Sharia Free America Caucus aims to oppose what the founders described as the influence or spread of Sharia law in the United States. And it goes on to talk about who founded it, who started it, and why it is so necessary. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot have the juxtaposition of biblical Christianity with Islam, Islamic beliefs, and Sharia law. At this very moment, the new Sharia law, socialist, Marxist, communist, Islamic jihadist mayor in New York City just gave a major speech a couple of days ago. A portion of the speech was spoken in Arabic, and he talks about his faith, Islam, and how wonderful it is, beautiful it is, and how that needs to be inculcated in America. We see where it's going. We know what is taking place. So when it comes to a Religious Liberty Commission, I believe it's impossible to have a Religious Liberty Commission that effectuates anything that's called benefit, blessing, or protection for the Christian church when it's got so many other isms and schisms in it. I believe Mary's on the line. Mary, go over to question or comment, please.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your program every day. I listen every day that I can. So here's my question. I believe it's sort of in line with what you're discussing today. One of my grandkids asked me a question that I didn't know how to answer. They asked me if we would see Adam and Eve in heaven.
That's a good question. It's a question that you won't find a definitive answer in the scripture. Dr. Phelps, Dr. Davis, each of you take a shot at that, and I'll close.
Well, one of the things we do know from reading the scriptures is that God offered them the way of salvation, mm-hmm. and showed them with an object lesson, clothing them with the blood, with the skins of animals, which required the shedding of blood. Whether or not Adam understood that and believed it and saw in that God's plan of salvation, we do not know.
Absolutely. Dr. Davis, give a thought on that quickly.
Well, I believe the book of Revelations tells us that all people will stand before God to be judged. But then when we look at the blood-washed, born-again people, we're going before the judgment seat of Christ to receive our rewards. So I would absolutely say Adam and Eve will be there.
I believe they'll be in heaven. I believe they will. As Dr. Phelps said, there's nothing absolute in the scripture that verifies that. But they were covered with the skin of an animal which required the shed blood. So if they were covered by the shed blood, that is foretelling, pointing forth of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood on Calvary's cross. So Mary, thank you so much for your call. And I pray that God will bless you even today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you've joined us on the broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7.